Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. A new wave of reopenings starts today in Montana. We hear from movie theaters, a Missoula barbershop, and gyms across the state about how they're starting back up. It's Friday, May 15th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Movie theaters around Montana can reopen today, but as Kay Erickson reports, the chance to see a movie inside on a big screen is limited.
Despite getting Governor Steve Bullock's okay to reopen, few movie theaters will be putting moviegoers into their stadium seats in the next few weeks.
There's no movies. There's nothing to release right now.
That's Mike Steinberg, executive director of the Roxy Theater in Missoula.
I mean, that's not entirely true. There's some smaller pictures, but there's nothing that really warrants, nothing that would really make sense financially for us, the cost of running the theater.
Movie theaters need current movie releases, full auditoriums, and concessions to make money. Limiting seating to 50% and limiting the number of screenings per day will keep profit margins low. Large theater chains like Cinemark, which has theaters in Helena, Bozeman, and Kalispell, are gearing towards a midsummer opening date when the first major new movie, Christopher Nolan's Tenet, is scheduled for a mid-July release. Some local movie theaters are taking advantage of the green light and are showing older releases. Circle Cinemas in Circle will open Friday and Saturday with a free showing of the 1984 classic Footloose. The Art House Cinema and Pub in Billings will reopen over the weekend with a special members-only screening of the 2018 Balloon. The Babcock Theater in Billings will open to the general public starting May 22nd with 1993's Jurassic Park. For other theaters, the wait continues. The Roxy's Mike Steinberg.
The impact on movie theaters and on the Roxy in particular, I think, is pretty huge. I mean, no one could ever see something like this coming.
I'm Kay Erickson with Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana reported no new cases of the COVID-19 illness yesterday. The state has a total of 462 lab-confirmed cases. Yellowstone and Gallatin County are tied for the most active cases with 3 each. There are currently 15 active cases in the state. 431 people have recovered and 3 are currently hospitalized. This morning, we're continuing our series looking at the impact of the novel coronavirus on science in Montana. The State Tribal Relations Committee recently wrote a letter urging the public to respect the closure orders on reservations across Montana, which have been slower to reopen than elsewhere in the state. But research continues to flourish on tribal lands despite COVID-19-induced slowdowns and uncertainty. Montana Public Radio's Nick Mott reports.
Sean Dean Pete, director of the Indigenous Research Center at Salish Kootenai College, is talking to me via Zoom from inside his closet, draped by shirts dripping from hangers.
You can't look at it all bad. The greatest discoveries you can make is when you get out of your comfort zone.
The newly formed Indigenous Research Center, or IRC, received $3.5 million from the National Science Foundation last August. The center serves as a hub for Native American science and promotes research methods that incorporate Indigenous worldviews. It's also developing training for researchers coming into the Flathead Reservation that will address the unique concerns of doing science amid Indigenous communities.
We're slowly churning forward, but of course the global pandemic has really changed the gears, switched the gears on us.
Pete says the center had fieldwork planned this summer at ancient rock art sites and examining hydrological markers historically used to predict river behavior.
But now we're going to have to kind of change our game, and we might be looking at alternatives. So what that is, I don't know yet.
In response to COVID, he says, they've started thinking about using technology, like podcasting and Zoom. But those solutions don't work for everybody. Rosalind Lapierre, Associate Professor of Environmental Studies at the University of Montana, studies Native American activism and traditional ecological knowledge of plants. She says face-to-face research is important for her work.
When you're interviewing somebody about, for example, how a specific plant is used for a specific purpose, it's much better to be with a person walking through the woods or walking through the prairies where they can show it to you and talk to you about it versus doing it over the phone.
Lapierre is Blackfeet and Métis, and she says the pandemic makes it particularly difficult to talk with elders who value one-on-one contact and are uniquely vulnerable to COVID-19.
Elders each year getting older, so being able to interact and visit with people and interview them, I think is just going to be much more difficult this spring and summer when I normally do that kind of activity.
Tom McDonald, Fish and Wildlife Division Manager with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes, says researchers from off the reservation gathering information on tribal lands need approval from the tribes. But since the pandemic hit, the number of those requests for the summer field season has plunged.
The farther out the research institute or university, the more likely they're not going to pursue it this season.
For the most part, McDonald says tribal conservation science has stayed on course, but with added safety and health precautions, including social distancing, with one exception. Every spring, the tribes net lake trout and host a fishing competition called Mac Days, designed to get as many of the non-native fish out of Flathead Lake as possible. That was postponed this year to encourage social distancing. The program was designed to provide better habitat for native bull trout, which are federally listed as a threatened species, to return to the lake.
We're starting to see results, so it's a shame to think that we might, you know, relieve or step off that gas pedal a little bit.
For Montana Public Radio, I'm Nick Mott.
This story is supported by a grant from the National Geographic COVID-19 Emergency Fund for journalists. The state of Montana has received more than 10,000 applications for COVID-19 relief grants since the funds were announced just over a week ago. The $123 million available in grants comes to the state from the Federal Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act. An advisory council appointed by Governor Steve Bullock guided the creation of the 9 grant programs aimed at stabilizing businesses, agriculture, food and housing assistance, and nonprofits during the economic turmoil amid the pandemic. A vast majority of applications are seeking money to support business losses. More than 7,300 people are asking to tap into the $50 million set aside for Montana-based businesses with 50 or fewer employees. A spokesperson for the Montana Department of Commerce says the agency is trying to get grant money out the door by the middle of next week. In separate COVID-19 news, Governor Bullock's administration announced yesterday the state will direct $5 million from the CARES Act to low-income energy assistance program, which helps individuals making less than $25,000 pay energy bills. The COVID-19 pandemic has fundamentally changed how massage therapists, nail techs, tattoo artists, and barbers do their work. Hair salons and other personal care services are reopening for business, but under new guidelines from state and local officials. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien got a haircut this week and takes us along to show what's new at a Missoula barbershop.
Hey, Eddie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I am good. I know, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. So,
in the pre-pandemic world, I was a haircut every 2 weeks kind of guy. It's been 2 months since my last cut at Sheer Perfection on Missoula's University of Montana campus, and a lot's changed since then. For one, no more walk-ins. It's appointment only. A sign on the salon's door instructs clients to wait outside until called in. Owner Carol Hadle, who's wearing a mask, quickly greets me and escorts me in. I'm also wearing a mask. It all feels so odd. And then there's that brand new mandatory check-in process.
So we're going to take your temperature, okay? And we're going to log it in this book.
Oh, that's good.
These are requirements from the health department. It's reading 97.5 today, Ed. Now, have you been out of town, out of Missoula County in the last couple weeks?
Nope, sure haven't.
Okay, have you been exposed to anybody that might be COVID-19 positive?
Nope, not that I know of. It's been pretty close to the house, actually.
As a hairstylist, she's following state and local guidelines requiring the screenings, social distancing, and strict new cleaning and sanitation regimes. In late April, Governor Steve Bullock outlined new guidelines for personal service shops like salons to reopen during phase 1 of his statewide economic reopening plan. but counties can take a slower approach to opening, and Missoula County pushed that date back, calling for barbers to open their doors this week. Back at the salon after my brief health screening, we're off to Hadel's booth. She runs her fingers through the mop that passes for my hair to size it up.
It's feeling awfully, awfully...
poofy.
Poofy, yes, it's got some volume behind it. So good to be working again.
It's been a long 6 weeks for Hadel. After my haircut, we meet outside her salon, remain physically distant, and keep our masks on as we catch up. She remembers March 25th vividly, the day the state issued its shutdown order.
It was a sad day. We were not quite prepared for that, but in a sense we were, but maybe we were in denial, thinking that, oh, it's not going to happen just yet. We're not going to get closed down just yet. And you were hoping that you could work another day.
It would be 6 weeks until Hadel and her co-workers could see another day of work. That's a month and a half of no income.
Yeah, it's been very hard, very full of anxiety and the unknown and sad because you're missing your people, your clients, your livelihood.
As an independent contractor, Hadel wasn't able to receive unemployment benefits until a few weeks ago. Self-employed workers are not normally eligible for those payments, but that changed under the Federal Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act.
The unemployment office had set up a new system for our type of industry. So this was new to them too, and it was very frustrating because there were a lot of glitches in their system, and we were trying to work with them as they were trying to work out their kinks too. So it did take some time, and it was hard. It was very hard.
Damon Dorsey, president of the Wisconsin-based American Barber Association, says the COVID-19 pandemic has been devastating for the barber industry.
Devastating in terms of the closing of barbershops and income for barbers.
As difficult as the pandemic's been on Montana stylists, Dorsey says it's been a nightmare in other states.
It's different than, of course, if you're in New York City and governors are doing different things and local government is doing different things.
That's how it worked in Montana. Last Friday, Missoula Health Officer Ellen Leahy said local providers could reopen under new, highly regulated circumstances. The news elated Sheer Perfection's Carol Hadel. Her phone immediately blew up and her team is booked solid for the next 2 weeks. She's also frantically trying to find more cleaning supplies. Barbicide, clipperside, hand sanitizers, cotton balls, you name it, she says it's all back ordered. But Hadel says she'll figure it out and find what she needs. She says she's a lot more confident now than back in late March. ABA President Damon Dorsey, meanwhile, suspects many people have a new appreciation for professional haircuts.
Certainly people miss their barber, miss their haircut. And it's just not a haircut, but, in some places it's a place just to hang out and see people you haven't seen in a while. Talk to your barber about all kinds of things. And, hopefully maybe after this, moves on, we can start to look at barbershops as a lot more than just a place to get a haircut.
Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Nikki Ouellette. Gyms of all kinds across Montana will have the option to reopen Friday under guidance from Governor Steve Bullock. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton found some facilities don't plan to open until a vaccine for the novel coronavirus is available, while others opened at the beginning of May. He shares his reporting with me, Nikki Ouellette. So Aaron, last week, Governor Bullock announced that gyms would have the option to welcome back members under phase one of his reopening plan. Originally, gyms weren't supposed to reopen until phase two. What guidelines has Bullock put out there for gyms that do want to reopen today?
Yeah, so the big one is that gyms need to operate at half capacity and users need to be able to remain 6 feet apart while they're working out. Only members of gyms can use facilities, so no walk-ins or guests. Staff need to wear masks and members should wear them when possible. And gyms need to be wiping down their equipment with an EPA-certified disinfectant like Clorox wipes or spray throughout the day, and they need to disinfect all frequently touched surfaces after they close.
That sounds like it's going to be pretty tricky. Are facilities reasonably able to follow those guidelines?
Not really to the T. The first thing I thought of were climbing gyms. I mean, these places have thousands of hand and footholds bolted onto the walls, and gym owners say there's no real feasible way to sanitize those holds multiple times a day. I spoke with one of the owners of Spire Climbing and Fitness in Bozeman, Jeff Ho, and during a FaceTime tour, he said the gym is asking members to use several hand sanitizing stations before and after they hop on a climb. They're also having members sign up for times to climb online so they can limit how many people are in the facility. Here's Jeff Ho.
The other thing that our software allows us to do is keep track of participants when they check in and check out. So we'll be able to monitor how many people are in the facility at all the times and also be able to contact trace if we need to.
If it's that hard to follow every rule laid out under the governor's guidelines, do climbing gyms feel like they can safely reopen given the circumstances?
Spire is opening today and says they will monitor things closely. Steep World in Billings actually reopened last week with special permission from Yellowstone County Health Department and the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services. Here's co-owner Jim Rote.
We worked with Yellowstone Public Health, Yellowstone County Public Health, about just kind of a youth programming. So we have just young at heart that are able to come in and climb. So our fitness area remains closed.
So the county health department says Steep World's early reopening was allowed because state health officials considered it an organized youth activity, but the gym has been open to adults. The state says it's not tracking the businesses it has allowed to open early under special designations. In an emailed statement, spokesperson John Ebelt said, quote, "These conversations are ongoing on a daily basis, both at the local and state level."
Interesting. Are there any gyms or exercise facilities that are going the other way and deciding to remain closed?
Yeah, there are. Particularly, I found that yoga studios are either not opening at all, providing their classes online only, or are delaying reopening their doors because studios are generally small, single-room setups where there's shared equipment and a focus on heavy breathing in environments that may not have the best air circulation. And yoga is a group-based workout. Indoor classes or workout groups aren't allowed under Governor Bullock's guidance. Owner of Kalispell Yoga, Jane Adams, says it's just too risky for her clients who are in their 60s and 70s.
I'm not planning on opening until there is either a vaccine or until there is some good, reliable medication to treat it.
Oh, wow. So what is she doing to stay afloat? A vaccine might not be ready for a year or more.
Well, Adam says she's seen an uptick in her business selling yoga DVDs on Amazon, so her studio has actually been used more as a storage facility for those. I heard from places that provide personal training saying that's also becoming more appealing to customers because it can be done online or with adequate social distancing. But not every kind of facility has been able to adapt so easily. Gyms of all stripes say they've lost some members, and facilities that haven't been around that long say they're also hurting because they aren't attracting new members right now that they need for their growth.
I want to go back to group classes for a minute. Yesterday morning, I drove past a trainer at the YMCA here in Billings, and she was leading a group out in the parking lot. Is that kind of thing allowed?
Outdoor classes are allowed, and our one-way gyms are providing a group service, but some are also sending the gym home with their members. Here's Tamara Podry, co-owner of Anchor Fitness in Great Falls.
You know, we've rented out all of our equipment, and we've been going live on Zoom every day, multiple times a day, to make sure that they're still staying, you know, with their fitness.
The updated governor's directive says indoor group classes aren't allowed, but there seems to be confusion on what that means for certain gyms, especially ones where they say they can social distance during classes. Podry says she's working to provide limited classes in person, and Keep It Real CrossFit in Butte is doing the same, according to owner Amanda Valdez.
Classes are always a bit small, but we are definitely going to limit them. People are going to have to sign in to classes through our members page on Facebook with no more than 10 people being allowed in the class.
It sounds like there's a huge range of approaches for gyms reopening today. Who's monitoring how gyms are following the governor's directive and whether gyms are reopening in the proper way?
Well, that really falls to county health departments, but Bullock isn't requiring health departments to institute some kind of formal process for this. In the case of Keep It Real CrossFit, Valdez said the Silver Bow County Health Department asked for an outline of their plan, and health officials came out to the gym to go over how she's going to provide her classes in a safe way. But other counties like Yellowstone are just fielding questions from gym owners as they come in.
Aaron, thanks for your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.